Okay, good morning, good Erev Shabbos. Welcome back to the Sas Emissary. I hope we'll make it through at least source number one today. I may have to end a little bit early. I'll watch the clock. We'll see what where we get to. And I couldn't change the schedule. But we'll make it as far as we can. Worst case scenario, as always, is recommended, you know, reading over Shabbos to do the balance of what we end up leaving out. The shiur today is dedicated by Mark Golden. We appreciate that. And it's in honor of the yard site of his father-in-law, Avram Moshe ben Yehuda Lev. And that yard site is on Sunday. So the learning today we do is L'inu L'nishmaso in the during this year. The pasuk in Parshas Naso tells us V'zvadu eschatasam asher asu v'eish v'eshashamo v'roshu v'chamishiso yosev alav v'nasan l'asher asham lo, in the context of a gzela, of an asham gzela, of someone who stole, and then there was a whole parsha of what happened afterwards. So he ends up with this asham which he has to offer. And in that context, the Torah tells us v'his vadu, that he does vidui. Now, this pasuk v'his vadu is actually the source. I didn't put on the sheet, but the Rambam quotes this in Hilchos Teshuva. It's the source which points to the idea of vidui, of doing a confession when a person does tshuva. And the Sfas Emes here points out something interesting. He talks about this, I think, in Parshas Noach and elsewhere as well. The Sfas Emes points out from his grandfather, the Chedush HaRim, here in source number one, the second small source over here, Tafresh Lamed Aleph. This pasuk says, "Adoni Avi Zikni Mori Rabbi." My grandfather, the Chedush HaRim, Amar, "Amashikaz of Mitzvah Tshuva v'Zvadu b'Gezela." So here, the Sfas Emes asks, he implies the question. We should say, he implies the question from his grandfather that it's a very interesting thing. V'Zvadu is the source for the entire concept of tshuva, the entire concept of vidui, the mitzvah of confessing after a person has committed an avera. So why does it appear here specifically in the context of Gezela? Maybe there should be a parsha in and of itself of tshuva. According to some of the Rishonim, we have a parsha in Parshas Nitzavim about tshuva, that Kikaro Vilecha Adavar Ma'od, maybe it's about Mitzvah tshuva. That's a Machlokas Rambam Ramban. Rashi is involved in that as well. So maybe you should put over there, V'his Vadu, as Asher Asu, as Asher Chatu. You should do vidui over your Averos. Why is it Dafka placed over here, this source of V'his Vadu, of doing vidui, of doing confession, of tshuva, in the context of Gzeila? Does that make sense to everyone, that question? Mm-hmm. Why is it specifically by thievery? So the Sfas Emes answers, or really he quotes his grandfather answers, Ki kol avera bichlal gezel. A very interesting idea, that in truth, every avera, every sin, everything we do wrong, is really, it schmecks of gzeila, as they say in French. It's a little bit of gzeila subsumed under the rubric of gzeila, of stealing, of theft. Why? Listen closely. Shemisha machzir kol advarim la'ashem yizbarach. Shehu amechaya kol, v'hu bailim shel kol hanivraim. Someone who recognizes and realizes that everything in his life is attributable to and owned by and controlled by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Everything in his life, everything that's created, everything that exists in this world is owned by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He is the Bailim, the owner over everything. Umi sheyodea zeh eino chote bevadai. Someone who recognizes that will never commit an avera. Now that was a pretty vague way of saying what he's trying to say, but what the Sfas Emes is saying as follows. If a person realizes that everything in this world belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so they will never come to do, he says, they will never come to do an avera, they'll never come to yichote, avada, they can be assured, they can be certain that they'll never come to sin, because they realize everything was given to them by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If every time you picked up the phone, and every time you picked up a piece of food, and every time you did any act in the entire span of your life, you were thinking, this is from Hashem, this is from Hashem, this is from Hashem, how could you do an avera? You're constantly realizing that things belong to Hashem, it's constantly on your mind, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gifted you with this, how can you do an Avera? And specifically, how can you use anything in this world as an instrument for Avera? And that is certainly what the Sfas Emes is saying. But the Sfas Emes is also pointing to a deeper concept, which he's not spelling out here, but it cuts to the core, really, of all Averos and our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this world. And I think it's important to flesh out what the Sfas Emes is getting at, and that's the next three indented sources you have over here. We say in the Tefillah, by Ne'ila, on Yom Kippur, so at the end of the whole Yom Kippur, we say, L'ma'an nechtal mi'oshek yadenu, as we're throwing up our hands and saying, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please give us slicha, mechila, kapara, please allow us to atone for our sins, please HaKadosh Baruch Hu, save us. So we mention that we all need a salvation, we all need to be saved from oshek yadenu. What does oshek mean? That is true, but what is it a form of? Gzela, Chazal say, you're right, it's a form, that is true in its interpretation of the word. And Chazal interpret Oshek as one form of Gzela, to different ways of taking away money or holding money back from people. So Oshek is a way of potentially causing gzela or doing gzela actively. So the tefillah we say is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please save us from our sin of stealing, the stealing of our hands, the thievery of our hands. So I don't understand. We all have averos to klap al chif or by ne'ilah. That's absolutely true. But and some of us, Rahman Slan, have been caught in some form of gzela or another. That's also true. But not every single Jewish person who's reading the tefillah at the end of Yom Kippur on Bani'ilah needs to be saved, needs to be get atonement for the avera of Oshek, the avera of Gzela. So why is every Jewish person throwing up their hands and saying, Lama nechtal me Oshek yadinu, please Hashem, save us because our hands have been used for thievery, for stealing? What are you talking about? Maybe just say Mechait or some other sin that is more wide, Lashon Hara. That for sure, the Chazal say, everyone's caught in Avak Lashon Hara. Why Oshek? Why Gzela? So in that context, so you have here a source from a Tshuva Drasha that the Rav gave in Tafshin Chav Zayin in sorry, in 1966, the Rav gave a Tshuva Drasha. He used to give a Tshuva Drasha every year between Hashanah Yom Kippur. Many people came to it. We have a lot of them written up in the Sefer Al HaTshuva, which is it's an interesting style of writing. It's not written by the Rav, it's written by someone who attended the shiurim, and it's not the style the Rav probably would have written himself, and not the style most of the students write in, but it's very poetic, it's very, it's long, it's an interesting style of writing. It's pretty accurate, it seems very helpful, but it's not from the Rav's hand himself. This tshuva drasha here that you have on the sheet actually is not in Ala Tshuva, it's not in that sefer of printed tshuva drashas of the Rav. Rather, this was in the notes of Rav Shechter, handwritten notes that Rav Shechter Shlita took at that Tshuva Drasha. And 2 years ago or so, we typed it up and we published it with footnotes. So that's what this is, just a snipping of. If you look at the footnote number one on the page, that gives you a link if you want to access the full Drasha. Right, if you want to access the full Drasha, so you can see it online. So in that context, again, this happens to be, this concept does come up in the Sefer Al Tshuva as well, but he elaborates on it here. So he asks, so he points out, let's say first, he points out that the psukim, let's say in Parshas Vayikra Tzav, I forget if Perikhe is Vayikra Tzav, nefesh kisim ol ma'al, a person who is mo'el. What is me'ila? So me'ila, right, exactly, that was the perfect way of saying it, exactly. So me'ila in the very technical sense means using hektish items inappropriately. The way Mark said it, which is exactly accurate because it's what we're going for, is it's stealing from hektish, meaning it's also a form of gzela, it's also a form of stealing, but from hektish, from items which were consecrated for use in the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, so the word me'ila certainly means that. It means gezela from hektish. However, ach lashon me'ila in the bold, mofiya b'chumash ba'od makomos. You see the word me'ila in multiple places, including in our parsha. Ba'kavan al chet bichlal. The idea of me'ila actually refers to the word, the term me'ila, refers not only to stealing from hektish, but actually refers to chet bichlal, general averos, general sin, that a person does a chet. Da'ainu parshas asham gzelos. Va'kavan al gezel hedjok. Fine. The chenk siv u'ma'ala bo ma'al. The woman who has been adulterous was ma'ala bo ma'al. She committed me'ila against her husband. Va'yima'alu be'lekei avoseihem. General chet of avodah zarah is referred to also as me'ila. So what does the word me'ila really mean? Stealing? But it doesn't only refer to stealing. It also refers to adultery and to avodah zarah and to all averos. So what does stealing have to do with every single avera? So here the Rav quotes from Rashi in at least one place where Rashi interprets me'ila means shinui. It means changing, which in our context means, it means misappropriating, misusing. To misappropriate something is a form of gzela. So if it's yours and I take it, that's stealing. If this is not the Isha's husband and she commits adultery, she's misappropriating herself or the other person. In every case of Avera, we're misappropriating. Well, what are we misappropriating in every other Avera? So the Rav explains as follows. Every person is not the Bailam, is not the owner of their own body and their own life. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gifts everything in our life to us, as I said before, including ourselves, our guf, our neshama, our fingers, our hands, our eyes, our ears, our feet. Everything is a gift from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and everything belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And so when a person takes his hand and commits an avera, on the one hand, okay, first of all, he is committing that avera. He's violating a din in the Torah. That's first of all. Second of all, simultaneously, at the very same time, what he's doing is he's using his hand inappropriately. He's misappropriating this gift that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him. Hashem lent him the hand, so to speak, to use it for mitzvos, to use it for good things, ma'isim tovim, and he's using his hand to do an avera. If he's doing that, he's also committing what avera. Every time he doesn't have avera, he's committing gezela. He's misappropriating the property that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gifted him with to use, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu lent him to use in this world. That's called me'ila, that's called gezela in every single case. As the Rav quotes, HaNeshama lach v'haguf shalach, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, everything is yours. Our body is yours, all our assets are yours, everything is yours. So every time we commit a sin, we're really violating the iser of gezela. And that's what the Sfas Emes was telling us as well. V'hisvadu es chatasam, that the idea of tshuva, the idea of confessing, comes up here in the context of gezela. Why? It should come up in the context of tshuva. Tshuva is a halacha mitzvah that we do in every single aver that we do. The answer is that every single aver we do is also a form of gezela, as the Rav just spelled out, and as the Sfas Emes was hinting to us, every aver we do is a form of gezela, because it's stealing and misappropriating what HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us, our faculties, and using them for the absolutely wrong reasons. L'man nechta me'oshek yadenu, we say, as we end Yom Kippur, we throw up our hands and say, who here has escaped any avera, and therefore is clean of stealing? We all have done averos, and if we've done averos, that means we're all gazlanim, we're all using our body inappropriately. So we're doing tshuva, and we're saying, v'zvatu es chatasam, please HaKadosh Baruch Hu, remove the stealing from our bodies, that we should use our bodies appropriately. The truth is, that is a theme in tshuva as well. If you look at the very bottom of page 1, you have from Rabbeinu Yonah and Shari Tshuva. Rabbeinu Yonah says that one of the darkei tshuva, one of the steps in the tshuva process, or one of the, I guess, the features of tshuva, is the ikar ha'asiri, the 10th ikar. He says, lehetiv pa'alav b'davar asher zada alav. A person has to correct what he's done. Tshuva is an amazing thing. It's time travel. You can undo what you did in the past. But here he means very specifically, in mistakel barayos, if a person used their eyes inappropriately, yisnaig b'shachos einayim, they should lower their eyes and not look at things. Im chata b'lashon hara, if they spoke ill of other people, yasok b'torah, they should use their mouth to talk about good things. They should clean their mouth out with Torah. U'bechol ha'ivarim asher chata, any limb, any body part which a person used to commit an avera, whatever faculty we misappropriated, we committed mi'ila, gezeilan, rachmanu litzlan, b'chol evarim, asher chata, yishtadel l'kayim b'hem mitzvos. You used your feet to run to do something inappropriate, now use your feet to run to the base medrash. You used your hands to hit someone in the past, now put on tefillin and do it more often, or do it with more kavanah, or do it more consistently. Use the part of the body that a person misappropriated in order to do tshuva. And tshuva on that level, the Rabbeinu Yonah is telling us, he doesn't spell this out, but it ties in, Rabbeinu Yonah is telling us that part of the tshuva process is the same way by gezela. A person has to return the object to the person from whom they stole it. So a person has to right the wrong of the averos they've done by taking what they've misappropriated. They took their hand out of the reshus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak, and used it for the wrong thing. They committed a gezela, they stole it. You have to return it to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How do you return that gezela to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? You use it for dvarim shebikdusha. You use it for mitzvos. You use it for the reasons that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had given you, the hands and the arms and the legs and the ears and everything you use inappropriately. And you return it to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'zvadu es asher eschat asam. You do the vidui on the chet, and you are meshiv the gezela to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's all part of the tshuva process, and that's why tshuva is so centered around the Isser Gezela, because really every Avera shmeks of Gezela, as we said in the very beginning. Okay, we'll briefly do source number 2, and then I do have to run, I apologize. So the Sfas Emes here in Tafresh Mem Hei, the Sfas Emes says in 1885, the Indian smichas birchas kohen in the parshas and zeros. Over these parshas, you have a lot of questions why different sugyas come next to each other. It's interesting by Naziris that you have Nazir next to Sota in the Parsha, and also Nazir and Sota near each other in the Gemara. But here you have Birchas Kohanim in the Parshas Naso, which comes right on the tail of Hilchos Naziris in general. Why? So in Halacha there is a reason. One of the dinim that we have, it's not clear. Some assume this is an Esmachta, which is the Pashtas, but others assume it's actually a din daraisa, a biblical din. But there's a din that a Kohen cannot duchen if he is drunk, if he's intoxicated. Can't have alcohol before duchening. Where do we get that from? So one of the hints, the allusions to it, is the connection, the juxtaposition between Nazirus and Birchas Kohanim. So a Nazir has to refrain from wine, and then we talk about Birchas Kohanim because a Kohen also has to refrain from wine before duchening. Chaim, I'm staring at you not because of drinking, because of your Kohen part. So that's a din that we learn out. But there's also something in terms of not only Drush, but really Pshut Lashon Mikra, everything, in terms of the connection between Birchas Kohanim and Nazirus. So here are two ideas the Sfas Emes develops in different places in the Parsha. He notes that a Nazir is an interesting thing. A nazir is someone who basically separates himself entirely from everyone else. Everyone partakes of wine and grapes and gets haircuts and acts normally. And he's a parish. He's a somewhat ascetic. He lives a life of separatism, where he separates a little bit and lives in his own bubble of how to conduct himself, of how to be a parish, of how to separate from this world's pleasures, not to be indulgent in any way. That's what a nazir accomplishes with his life. Okay, that's or however long he takes on the nazir is for. Now, a nazir can fall into the trap of coming out of that and saying, I am different and everyone else is beneath me. I'm better, I'm different, I'm unique. And there's some truth to that because he's been nis'ala. He has raised himself up. He has succeeded and climbed a big ladder. But ultimately, after a person comes out of a nazirus, they have to see and look back and say, the only reason I was able to accomplish what I accomplished is because of the klal. Is because I'm part of a klal Yisrael that's so chashuv, so holy. So I was able to get above and grow and become a nazir, but that's all attributable to, and therefore also I have to now contribute to the klal, the community from which I come. And the Sfas Emes says that's really the connection to Birchas Kohanim, because Birchas Kohanim represents the fact that the Kohanim are Mura Me'am. They are above and beyond, head and shoulders above all of the other Jews in the nation. They're the highest level of Kedusha, that's absolutely true. But they also have to turn around and face the entire Kehillah and give them a bracha. Because that separate nature, that unique nature, that raising up of the Kohen is contingent on and therefore it demands more of a shaychus to the community, of a relevance to the entire Kehillah, to the rest of the Gan's Klal Yisrael. That's the Kohen's job. So the Nazir is being taught the same lesson. You're separate, you're distinct, but it's all through and therefore it has to all be given back to the community. You know, I've heard this before also, but it happens to be in this community as well. I'm thinking of a couple of people in particular that I've had conversations with, people who are a big Baal Tzedakah, big philanthropists. So let's say, and I'll quote one person for you. So we were discussing some of the projects that he's involved in, and this person is very anonymous in a lot of these projects. So he was saying to me that he doesn't feel like he's doing anything special. He always feels like everything he has, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him in order to be a conduit, in order to, Hashem needs to get this money to this tzedakah, to this kolel, to this family that needs it. So how does HaKadosh Baruch Hu get money to people? Through other people. So I'm a person who is a zocha to be a pipeline for HaKadosh Baruch Hu's money to get to these various causes. But he continuously said, I only have this money to give because the klal needs it. It's not me doing anything special. I'm part of the klal. I have the status of being a baal tzedakah, and I'm going to use that for the klal. That's all due to the klal, and therefore it has to go back to the kehillah as well. There was no zich. There was no personal bias in it. It was like an unbelievable thing to hear from someone. He's very young, actually. He's very impressive. Very impressive thing. In other cases, also, someone talking about a learning yeshiva institution, a kolel, thing like that. So the person was telling me that he invests in this opportunity, not because it benefits him, and not, it might, but not because it does, and not because he has any personal interest whatsoever. He's a community person. He's a community person, and we contribute to things that are communal things. We care about the community, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us the gifts to care about the community. So the Kohen and the Nazir are teaching us the same lesson. Yes, you are raised up. Yes, you have a higher level, but that's due to, and therefore needs to be given back to the community. We have to all work together, that we each have our milas to help the other person grow, and then help the entire kehillah, the entire klal go. Another point this Vasemis makes in Tafresh Mem Vav, the next year, you have it in Source 2, the second paragraph, and we'll do it outside. He notes that the Medrash connects Avram Avinu and Berchas Kohanim. Avram Avinu was the Heyei Bracha. Avram Avinu was given the Bracha of being the source of Bracha, and the Kohanim are given the Bracha of being the source of Bracha. Right? Kos of Archas B'nei Yisrael, Amor Lahem. So the Medrash draws a connection between the two. The Sfasem says, what's the real connection between Avram and the Kohanim? So he says, Avram Avinu was the first person who was told, Lech Lecha Me'artzecha, be Mevatel everything. Give up all of your worldly possessions. Give up everything that you focused on. Give up your family. Give up your home. Leave. Just separate entirely. Go into a gullus and follow my command to the place that I'm going to show you. And it's dafka, a person who gives up everything else. It's dafka, a person who's not chasing gashmius, who's not chasing bracha, who's not chasing success. He's going to be the person who's going to end up finding that success. This doesn't go against the shtadlus. The point is, a person not hyper-focused and obsessed with their materialistic gains. So that's the person who's going to end up finding the most bracha. So Avram Vinu is lech lecha. Therefore, you're able to be the heyei bracha. You're able to gain from the bracha. The Sfas Emes says, the same thing is true about Klal Yisrael in general. When they're in the midbar, of all places, they end up with the most bracha. And particularly, Kohanim are given the bracha of being the mevarchim, because they're the ones who are so separate and so unfocused on this world. They don't have a chelik in Eretz Yisrael. They're not given a plot of land in Israel. they spend their whole day and all the months of their life really preparing for and working in the Beis HaMikdash. So those people who have the most, the least indulgent lifestyle, those are the people who end up finding and giving over the most bracha. And he connects this to Nazir as well, that the Nazir, when he's Poresh min ha-teva, when he separates from the Teva, so him too, he deserves a special bracha. He has a Nezer al Rosho, he develops a certain sense of bracha in his life as well, and that's all because of the Naziris, that's all because of the Precious. So the connection again between Berachas Kohanim and Naziris is not only what we said originally, which is the fact that the person sees themselves as separate, but then giving back to and because of, you know, all due to and therefore contributing back to the klal. And additionally, because the asceticism, the lack of indulgence, is really what results in the bracha, both in the case of Nazir and the case of Berachas Kohanim and the case of Klal Yisrael in general. So I'll give us all a bracha. We should all be zochet to the bracha mishuleshes of Berachas Kohanim and all the brachos that the Torah offers us for following the mitzvos. Everyone should have a wonderful Shabbos.